All right. Well, there's always a way where people have to encourage you. Brother Earl mentioned my name, and I got two or three. Yeah. I thought, that's great. I'm glad there's two or three excited. And then as I was coming in this evening, I won't mention the person by name, but they looked at me and said, you know, you probably didn't have to come to church tonight because the preaching's not going to be any good. I thought, well, here goes nothing. As our pastor says many times, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn this evening to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. And we'll look together at Joshua chapter 1. As you're turning there, I would like to express my gratitude to our pastor for the opportunity to speak and preach. Also, I would like to say thank you to Worth Baptist Church, our church family, for giving us, the Sigmanis, the privilege to serve here, to be involved in the youth department, to assist our pastor. We truly have enjoyed. It's hard to believe it's been 2 years already. And thirdly, thank you. Thank you for being here tonight, being faithful to your local church. Two of the Bible verses that we are trying to encourage our youth department to memorize this year has to do with the local church. Teenagers, are you paying attention? I need your help. Two of the verses have to do with the local church. And the two verses, if you haven't memorized, say them with me out loud. It's Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I appreciate you being faithful to your local church, and I hope you pray for your church and your pastor, and it's good to be here to worship together. You may wonder, many times on Wednesday evenings, what do the teenagers do? That's a great question. And I'd like to take a minute and try to explain to you our schedule each Wednesday so you could be educated and informed. And so if anyone ever asks you, you could tell them this is kind of what takes place on Wednesday nights. Sometimes it varies, but this is kind of the schedule that we follow. At 6:30, my wife and Mrs. Liz Gillett meet with our young people upstairs in our teen room for teen choir practice. My wife gets a bigger cheer than I do, but that's okay. It should be that way. By the way, thank you to all the parents and to all the teenagers who come early every week and who are faithful. You really help and encourage the youth pastor when you help and encourage the youth pastor's wife. And Rachel loves working with the group. I guess this is a little mini message for parents. Support and encourage the functions of your local church. Be involved in the ministries. Sometimes I know scheduling is not always possible, but get your young people here early, whether it's Sunday evening for a children's choir or for the teen choir on Wednesday nights. I have learned and am learning that if you give children and teenagers, Brother Earl, an option to let them either choose whether to take it or leave, that usually they will leave it. Yeah. Why? It's because we're lazy, and we all need discipline in our lives. We are trying to learn this thing called parenting, and I can pick a little bit on my kids tonight because they're not in here, but if I gave Jonathan, Esther, and Joy the option to have ice cream for breakfast versus something healthy and good for them, what do you think they will choose? Yes, it's not rocket science, right? Ice cream, of course. So as mean parents, Rachel and I, we don't give them the option. We tell them you have to eat something a little more healthy. But we're hoping and we're praying, of course, that when they're old enough to make decisions on their own, they'll make the right decisions. It's kind of crazy, but even as a 34-year-old man, I've learned to like Greek yogurt and bacon and strawberry and bananas and bacon and apples and boiled eggs and protein bars and more bacon. I can't remember the last time that I had ice cream for breakfast. Not that I can't have it, because I can have it. We buy lots of ice cream. But I just decide not to because I don't think it's as good for me in the morning. Are you with me there? So we try to encourage our kids. I guess I'm doing a little recruiting. Maybe the right word is enlisting for our choirs and for our teen choir. Strongly trying to encourage our kids. Even if you've got younger kids, when they get up, give at least encourage them to be involved in the teen choir. maybe not for the rest of their lives, but don't give them that option. They probably won't follow through if you give them that option there. I understand if I was leading the choir, don't come. I'm musically dumb. I'm not going to help them. It's going to be bad. But God's gifted my wife and Mrs. Gillett with some musical talents, and they can help our young people. I want to speak to our teen choir, maybe just to say this as well, too, that it really is a ministry. One of the men in our church pulled me aside several weeks back and said, Tony, I want to let you know that youth choir is a big help and a blessing to me. And he didn't have to do that, but he did. And so the teen choir, as you sing out for the Lord, you know it is a blessing and a help. I remember years back, a lady was telling me once that she actually got saved in a church service because of a teen choir singing. And so it really is a ministry and an outreach there. So from 6:30 to about 7, we have teen choir practice. From 7 to about 7:20, we usually have an activity or a game time, and usually it's downstairs in the gym. And maybe several reasons for our game time is that we try to give the teens an opportunity to expend their energy in the right way. We're also trying to develop some hand-eye coordination skills for our teenagers. And that is a lot easier said than done, I promise you. That might be the hardest thing I try to do every Wednesday in helping our teenagers. But also the activity is usually a team building time. I'm trying to help them, the teenagers, learn to work together in different areas. I mean, it takes a lot of work to throw a dodgeball together at one person. And so that is important there. But it's also a great opportunity, our game time and our activity time, to build friendships and relationships and to be friendly with one another. I haven't really run this through with the pastor yet, but maybe the deacons can help me out when the pastor gets back into town. We ought to line up a dodgeball game, adults versus teens. That would be fun. I don't know if that would work out, but something to consider. And then for the rest of the evening, from 7:20 till 8-ish, or when the pastor gets through preaching here, we usually have our teen service, which consists of prayer time, songs, announcements, and we usually have one of our teenagers give a mission report, just like Brother Chuck does here. And then we are challenged from God's Word. And for the last several weeks on Wednesday night in the teen service, we've been studying through the book of Joshua. And tonight, I would like to give you kind of a summary from Joshua and pray it will be a help to everyone, young and old alike. So let's look together, Joshua chapter 1. I hope you've made your way there. And we'll read the first 9 verses. And the message here is the message from God to Joshua. So as we read this, would you follow along? The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And as we come to this passage here, and if you do any bit of study in the book of Joshua, two words kind of summarize or describe the book of Joshua. And here are the two words. The words are conflict and conquest. There's also a theme that you will find throughout the book of Joshua. The theme is moving forward in obedience. You'll find many times the phrase or phrases or words in the book of Joshua like arise and go, pass through, or pass over. The word go is actually mentioned 28 different times in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, notice what it says. Arise, go over this Jordan. Chapter 2, verse 1, go view the land. You know the story of the cities of Jericho, the walls of Jericho? Go round about the city, God says. So we see the theme here, moving forward in obedience. And I think it'd be good to note that we really see this theme and this idea all throughout scriptures. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. The Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Someone once said, you're not to allow yesterday take up too much of today. You can never start the next chapter if you're always rereading the last one. So the idea we really find throughout God's word, and here specifically in Joshua, is we are to move forward and advance. We are to go on. I've got a personal video I'd like to share with you, and it's something that we recorded, I guess it's probably been 3 years ago or so. It's our middle child, Esther, and she's playing the piano. Actually, she's banging on the piano, and she's yelling at her mom. Can we watch this video? A karate move there.
Play me a song.
Thank you for that there. It really is a cute video and a hilarious. But we as parents now, we kind of expect a little bit more from her. Banging it on piano like a wild madman and yelling at mom to stop is unacceptable. She's 5. Now we pray that she can grow up to play the piano beautifully and hopefully learn to speak kindly to her mother. The idea is, We want her to grow up, to mature, to move forward. And the application to us is, you find that in God's word. We are to take the next step. So the message and the main point as we look even in the story that we have here from the life of Esther is we are to move forward in obedience. I always look forward to the new year. And we come very soon here to the end of 2018, and we're getting ready to embark on 2019. It's really a great time to begin again. There are certain things maybe in my life that I've not been doing that I should be doing. And there may be things in my life that I am doing that I shouldn't be doing. So 2019 is a great time to start over, to begin again. It's a great time to set goals and to move forward. And you find that theme throughout God's word, but even specifically throughout the book of Joshua. I remember once one of my college professors saying to me that one of the keys in youth ministry is finding teenagers where they are and helping them take the next step. And I'd like to say that's probably true for all of us. We are to take the next step in our Christian walk. We are to grow up and grow on. And I'm praying, and I hope that you'll pray, God, help me in my spiritual walk with thee to take the next step. moving forward in obedience is not just a message for young people, because many of you are thinking, that is a great, that's a good youth pastor. He's trying to encourage these kids to grow up, to take steps. But really, the message in Joshua is not just for young people. As a matter of fact, it's a great book because there's an example of an older man, actually, who was 85 years old. He gave testimony in Joshua chapter 14 and 50 of actually wholly following the Lord. He, too, had moved forward to conquer the land and to drive out the enemy. So the message, just by way of introduction, is for all of us. We are to take the next step in our walk with God. The title of the message, as we consider here from the book of Joshua, is this: From Conflict to Conquest. How do you go? How do we go from the problems we face to having victory? I believe you can see many principles found throughout Joshua chapter 1, but tonight we're just going to give attention to one of them. And that one principle that will help, I think, us move forward in a sense, going from conflict to conquest, is one name. Are you ready? It's Moses. The first name to be mentioned from the book of Joshua is not Joshua, but rather Moses. Look at verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses. Now, we see that Moses and his final days are mentioned in detail the last chapter of Deuteronomy. So if you'll just go maybe back a page or just a few verses up, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, you see the end of the life of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1 says, And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo. Jump down to verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give unto thy seed, and I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab, the Bible says, for 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Verse 12, And in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. As we look here and consider the life of Moses here, you would think, why? Maybe you ask, why would they spend 30 days weeping and crying for Moses? Well, he was the one that God used to lead them from Egyptian bondage. It was in answer to his prayers that a way was opened for them through the Red Sea. He was the one who acted as their representative before the Lord and his mouthpiece unto them. The life and ministry of Moses you find from Exodus chapter 3 all the way to Deuteronomy chapter 34. And this is no doubt a very sad scene. But we see in the book of Joshua that the work of God continues on, and it's going on. One commentator said this: The work of God is in no wise hindered by the decease of his servants. No matter how eminent they be in office, nor how much used in blessing to his people, though the workman be removed, his work goes forward to its ordained completion. Matthew Henry said, God will change the hands to show that whatever instrument he uses, he is not tied to any. This really should encourage us and maybe even inspire us, because the cause of Christ, the work of God, his purpose on this earth is not dependent on just one person. As a matter of fact, God's work is greater and bigger than just me. Can I give a personal illustration? I remember for many years, my wife and I were involved in a church ministry, and we served there for many years. I remember, I guess it was the day that I got hired, the pastor pulled me into his office, and he said, Tony, I want you to know you're not the star here. You're one of many stars. And I'll just be very honest, that was kind of humbling. But I think I understood the message, that the ministry that was taking place there was involved, was moving on before I got there, and there was a good chance that it was going to be moving on after I left. And to tell you the truth, the ministry there is going very well, and I thank God for that. I'm not as important as I think I am. And you're not as important as you think you are. Look, God stepped out into nothing and made the universe, right? So we're not that special. We should count it as an honor and as a privilege to be a part of his work. But please be reminded, it wasn't really about Moses. It was always about the God of Moses. James 1:17, I think, says it best. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. One writer put it this way. The success of ministry is always more a picture of who God is than a statement about who the people are that he is using for his purpose. Moses was not to be worshipped. Here's the message and the main point. Even though Moses had died and even though he had passed away, Moses was not forgotten. So we see tonight the example of Moses. We go from conflict to conquest by remembering the life of Moses. I believe it's good to note that you will find the name Moses, and we won't take time tonight, but you'll find the name Moses mentioned 58 different times throughout the book of Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 1, now after the death of Moses. Verse number 2, Moses my servant. Verse number 3, I have given unto you as I said unto Moses. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life as I was with Moses. Verse number 7, which Moses my servant commanded. Look at verse number 13, remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you. Verse 14, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in it in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. Look at verse number 17. According as we had hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. 11 different times we find the name Moses mentioned here. So what can we learn about remembering the example of Moses? I want to give you, I guess, maybe just 2 points this evening to try to encourage us to go from conflict to conquest, remembering the life of Moses. Number one, we are to follow the example of Moses. We are to follow the example of Moses. As Joshua was moving forward in obedience, he had to deal with the conflicts of his time. And one of the reasons I believe that he was able to overcome the conflicts was because he followed the instructions of Moses. Many of the times that the name Moses is mentioned out of the 58 times, I haven't gone back to look in detail, but many of the times the name Moses is mentioned throughout this book was in reference to Joshua listening and heeding to the counsel that Moses had left behind. It was not soon forgotten. I believe the book of Joshua teaches us that the blessings of God are attached to following God's chosen man. Can I make an application to us as a church tonight? God has placed us here at Worth Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And he has given us a shepherd to lead and to guide us. So, if we really want to go from conflict to conquest and have the blessings of God, we are to take time to listen and follow the command of our Moses. Now, let me take a quick TV timeout. I'm not saying that our pastor is like Moses, all right? I'm just making it as an illustration here. I believe our pastor will give a Bible answer. He will pray for you specifically. He will try to guide you in the right direction. My pastor in Tennessee for many years would say that pastors don't preach to be heard. Pastors preach to be repeated. They're trying to help you. They're trying to give you something so you can move forward, so you can share it with others. So as we come here, we know that there's been a chosen man that God has given to us. And the truth is, our pastor may not have all the answer for life's problems, but I believe like Joshua, God has called him to lead our church. From conflict to conquest, and we are to listen and follow his example. A good commentary, I think, on this thought is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. The Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So how do we follow the man of God? How do we follow the example of Moses? How do you follow someone? You listen, right? You watch. But another way of following is talking. Let me go kind of on a little rabbit trail here. Talk to your pastor. Don't rush out of these side doors. I know that Brother Ron Baldwin has an unpleasant face to look upon because he's always in the middle here. But try to go right by him as soon as possible. And I always pick on Brother Ron every time I preach, and so that's why I had to throw that in there. And the pastor's usually there. And take time to see the pastor, to shake his hand, to say an encouraging word. I really want my family and I, with our church and our youth group and the people here, to move forward. And I believe part of moving forward is learning how to follow and to listen to the man of God. Here's something else. Communicate with your pastor. When you're out of town, let him know. Like, you're going to be out of town for 2 or 3 weeks, for whatever it may be. Well, he doesn't want to have to worry about you. I promise you he will. He'll ask Brother Earl, Brother Andrew, Brother Tony, have you seen such and such? And things like that come up. We're like, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. Man, I don't think they like you, Pastor. I don't know. I mean, what? So communicate with your pastor when you're out of town. Maybe there's a job transition. Maybe there's a sickness in the family. And I know what everyone's thinking. As our church is growing, there's a lot of people here, because every Sunday I come, I'm thinking, have I met that person? Do I know them? Did they help start the church? Or are they a brand new visitor? So I know what you're thinking. I don't want to bother the man. He's just too busy. Other people need him more. I don't want to take up his time. And you know what? That's how the devil works. You may have a problem or a prayer request that comes up in your life, and the pastor never hears about it because you don't communicate with him or even the staff here at the church. And then the devil sows that seed. The church is just getting too big for you. They're just too busy with ministry. In Bethlehem, in 3 nights, they've been talking about this forever. I never get a call or visit from somebody. I was at the hospital or my family member, and they didn't come by and see me. My name wasn't in the church bulletin. And then we throw this pity party, and then the devil says, why don't you start looking for another church? Look, you don't have to write a book report, and you don't have to send a 3-page email. As a matter of fact, it's probably best you don't do those things. But when's the last time you took time to talk to your pastor? I know there's a lot of people here. I know he's just one person, but you have to make the effort. It's impossible for him to walk around this church auditorium on a Sunday morning and shake everyone's hand. It's pretty difficult. And he really is a great guy. And I'm preaching and saying all these things because I know he's not here. But I want us to learn to love and follow and listen to the man of God that God has placed before us. It doesn't always have to be on a one-on-one counseling session when you talk to the pastor. Spend time with him. Can I give you just another? I'm still on this rabbit trail, I guess. I'm coming back a little bit, right? When you bring a guest to church, or maybe you meet a visitor at church, after being kind and speaking with them, introduce that person to the pastor. That requires saying something like this. Good to have you here. Have you met our pastor? Well, you know what? I'd like for you to meet him. And maybe it's like 1 minute right before the service starts. That's not a good time, all right? Let me just backtrack on another rabbit trail here. As a matter of fact, when the pastor's walking in, it's like 2 minutes before service starts, don't go running after the pastor and just unload, because he's about to preach God's word. Save that for maybe till after church. All right, let me get back to this other rabbit trail here. Hey, take some time. I know you may be a little late for your Sunday afternoon lunch, but walk somebody up to the pastor. Pastor, I want you to meet. I met this individual, this couple, this child, and this is their first time here at church. I just wanted you to meet them. It'd be good for you to try to communicate in that aspect with our pastor there. Look, I remember even just yesterday, the pastor and I made a follow-up visit, actually last evening, at a house, and we were there for about an hour or so. A young person had just been visiting the church for a couple weeks, and the family's not been coming, but they came because, and this is encouraging to hear too, they came because one of the teenagers in our church at their public school invited them. And guess what? They came to church. I don't want to even call anyone out, but there's a son and a grandmother here at church this evening. They've been coming for a few weeks. And if you haven't had a chance to meet them, I hope you'll find them after church. I'm kind of putting everybody on the spot now, Ms. Fanny. They've been coming for about 3 or 4 weeks. And if you haven't met them, it's probably because you're running through those side doors trying to get out. They've been coming. But how did they get here? One of the kids, one of the teenagers in our church, at their school invited them, and so they came to church. We were making this follow-up visit yesterday to this house, and the mother is really seeking and searching. It's a single mother home, and man, they live in a beautiful house across from TCU campus there, and had a great visit. But it made me think of the importance of introducing people to the pastor. So the young man that came to church with the other teenage son that's from our church, I'm trying to avoid using names here, the mom said, let's meet our pastor. She met the pastor, and he wanted us to come by and visit. So pastor and I went yesterday, last evening at 6 o'clock, to visit. And the mom was kind of shocked because she said, I haven't really been praying specifically, but we need some help. And she said, I have a religious background, but I need some help. And I'm just trying to encourage us to communicate, to talk, to learn to follow the example that God has set before us. Look, I am so thankful to be part of Worth Baptist Church because God has blessed us with great leadership. Thank God for godly leadership like Dr. Barber and Dr. Weaver and Pastor Gillett. So, follow. Going from conflict to conquest when we follow godly leadership. It was a blessing even this past week, this Thanksgiving service, to hear many of you stand up and say, Pastor, we're praying for it. Pastor, we love you. And please communicate. Learn to follow the example of Moses. To be honest, there'll be many times, even in this coming year, 2019, just like you find in the book of Joshua, but the people were asked to move forward by faith in obedience without really knowing exactly the details. And you know what? The people followed Joshua, just like Joshua had followed Moses. And guess what? God blessed and provided and did miraculous things. And look, God wants to do that, I believe, for our church in 2019. If we would just be willing to submit ourselves and follow the man of God as the man of God follows the word of God and as the Holy Spirit leads there. And so there might be things this year that our pastor challenges us to do. He may say we need to step out by faith in obedience and following Christ. And it may be in the matter of giving. Will you follow? It may be in the matter of going on a short-term mission trip. Would you follow? It may be enlisting in a new outreach that you have never done before. Would you be willing to follow? Maybe it's being involved in something different, out of the ordinary for you specifically. Will you follow? I want to encourage and challenge us to march on in Canaan in 2019 and take new territory. Number one, follow the example of Moses. And number two, I'll be very quick here. Be an example like Moses. Follow the example, but number two, be an example. Be a Moses. Take someone under your wings and help them. The first mention, we don't have time this evening, but take some time and do a little study on the life of Joshua. But the first time Joshua is mentioned in Scripture is from Exodus chapter 17 and verse 9. Moses had enlisted him, brought him along, to fight in the battle. That's what you find in Exodus chapter 17. Shortly after that, you find Exodus chapter 24, and this title is given to Joshua. He was the minister of Moses, just like what we find here in Joshua chapter 1 at the very end of verse number 1. It says, Moses is minister. Joshua was brought along. Look, Joshua was called to serve alongside with Moses. Moses took the time to bring Joshua along. Can I give you just a closing illustration here? And I want to show you a picture this evening of a young man. His name is Emiliano, if you look up there. Emiliano Ledesma is, and I don't think no one knows this story except for Mrs. Gillett and I, he is the student body president of the third grade for Carter Park Elementary School. The picture that you see of him was the day that he won the Amazing Shake competition at his school. It was this past August, and I'll give you just a few of the details here. But the school held a summer program for any of the rising third graders called the Jumpstart Camp. And the whole idea was they're trying to get second graders ready for third grade. And so they have this program, and our church has had the opportunity, I think, for the last few years to be involved with providing snacks and lunches. Am I correct, Mrs. Gillett? I'm waiting. That's good. I don't want to just make up story here. But Mrs. Jill has been heading up and helping that. And towards the end of their camp program, they needed an extra judge. And so Mrs. Jill called and said, Brother Tony, could you come and help and be one of the judges for the Amazing Shake competition? I thought, I've never really judged anything, but what is the Amazing Shake? And so all the kids that were involved in this camp program, the very last day, got in this competition, and what they were asked to do was to walk around and talk to a judge, and they had 60 seconds, and they would be scored by their amazing shake. So they would walk up to you and shake your hand, and they would be judged on how firm the handshake was or not too soft, and they would be judged with eye contact and actually how they were dressed and how they spoke and introduced themselves. And so all you were supposed to do as a judge was to stand there. And so I'm checking off things, and I can't remember how many kids were involved with that competition, but the top seven were able to move forward to the next round. And then in that next round, the seven would actually sit kind of at a desk area like they were a news anchor, and they would read this article to the judges, and then the judges would score them on how well they read and the words that they pronounced and how they made eye contact, etc. And then after those seven, the three would advance. And the three, I still remember their names. I wrote them down. The names were Tony, Isaac, and Emiliano. Guess who I was pulling for? Yeah, Tony. I really was. I didn't know where he was, but I was just hoping, let's go, Tony. Tony gets up, and so their last competition, or what they had to do, was give a speech in front of all the judges and everyone that was at that camp and the staff and faculty. So Tony gets up, and I'm crossing my fingers thinking, come on, Tony, make my name, you know. He gets up there and he stands, and he freezes. He doesn't remember anything. The principal's in the back, like, trying to give him signals, like, how to introduce, and he was kicked out. As much as I love the name Tony, he was out. Isaac gets up. I don't think Isaac realized he was going to make it that far. He left his speech at home. And so I don't even remember what he was saying. I don't think he knew what he was saying. He was out. Emiliano got up. He had a speech. And to be honest, he just knocked it out of the ballpark. And so he was crowned student body president, got a gift. There's a picture with the principal there. And afterwards, I felt like I had to take a selfie with him. And so that was Emiliano there. I was really impressed with, of course, his dress, the way he read, his speech, his smile. And so I had to ask Principal Howard Robinson, can you tell me about this kid? Can you tell me about Emiliano? And he wasn't surprised at all. He wasn't surprised about Emiliano. I think he really kind of knew that he was going to win. Here's what Mr. Robinson said about Emiliano. He said he has the right examples in his life. He's got a mom and dad who cares. He said he's had two siblings that have come through this school that have excelled in them very well. And those have taken him underneath their wings and have kind of shown him the way. Our pastor gave a quote this past Sunday. I wrote it down in my notes and also in my Bible. Those who are the most effective at reaching the many are the most passionate about reaching the one. And I want to challenge us tonight to be a Moses. Reach out to someone like Joshua and bring them along. Disciple somebody. I believe one of the things that I've learned from the book of Joshua is that conflict will come as you're trying to move forward in obedience, but conquest is possible. And here in just a few points here, follow the example and then be an example. Follow the example and be an example. If I were to pick on you and point at you and ask you to stand up and ask you, can you tell me somebody that you're bringing along? Can you give me a name of someone? You don't have to be a Bible scholar, but just showing the love of God to someone else and just seeing how God could work in their life, and that's my prayer. Let's all stand together. Would you bow in prayer with me? Appreciate your attention, and thank you for being here tonight. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to have an invitation. Brother Andrew's going to sing a verse of something. If you're not saved, you come to church tonight, and I know it wasn't a gospel message, but you're seeking and searching. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know that heaven's your home, tonight could be the night of salvation for you. One of our workers would love to take a Bible and show you how you can get that settled forever. But really, the message is for the Christians and for our church members. Would you follow the example, and would you be the example? And may God work in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for this time. I know that our pastor is just a man made of dirt and dust like we are, but we believe that you've called him. And we thank you for his leadership. And as a shepherd, I pray that you continue to give him your strength physically, spiritually. Give him wisdom. I pray for his wife and their children. And as they lead Worth Baptist Church, may there be a group of people that would follow him as he's following you. And God, thank you for the example of Moses. And I pray you'd help each and every one of us to be a Moses to someone like Joshua. And I thank you for these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.